Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
Praise the Lord. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We're going to be looking at some other verses, but that's going to be our base for tonight's message. We're continuing our series, Unlimited, because God wants us to live a life that is unlimited, unbound by Satan, by our past, by any kind of chain or bondage of the enemy. So that's what we're looking at. And tonight's message is titled, Atmosphere Matters. Atmosphere Matters. Do you know that there's a whole science behind how stores use music to create a certain atmosphere to increase sales? Certain music causes customers to stay longer and buy more. And classical music, they found, causes customers to buy more expensive items. So beware, if you go into a store and they're playing classical music, you may end up spending more than you intended. And doctors and dentists, they generally have soft music playing to calm patients' nerves, because nobody likes going to the dentist, right? No offense if anybody's a dentist, amen? And then gyms, what kind of music do they play? They play high energy music, right? For workout classes, because they want to get you going so you'll burn those calories. And then there's some restaurants that create a romantic atmosphere with candlelight and soft jazz music. And so it's got this beautiful ambiance to it. And then, of course, movie makers, they know the power of creating an atmosphere with sound and images that evoke a wide array of emotions. You know, how can you forget the jaws, do, you know, and just building up that anxiety almost of some kind of attack is about to take place, you know? So Hollywood knows the importance of how music and images can and lighting can create atmosphere. And whether we realize it or not, as we move about our daily activities, we are moving in and out of atmospheres that have been carefully controlled to impact us and to cause us to respond in different ways. Now, I want you to see this. The world understands the power of atmospheres, and as Christians, we need to as well. The Bible tells us that beyond the physical atmosphere, there is a spiritual atmosphere that we cannot perceive with our natural senses, but it is very real. We can see these two atmospheres clearly illustrated in the story of King Saul. If you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. And Saul had been disobedient to the Lord. And the Bible tells us here in 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, it says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul." Now that's a cautionary tale, that if we persist in disobedience, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and he can be removed from our life. None of us want that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it says, because of Saul's disobedience, it says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit." Some versions say an evil spirit. So God allowed these demonic presences to torment Saul, and they filled him with depression and fear. So because of Saul's persistent disobedience, the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from him, God's covering protection was removed, and God allowed demonic spirits to come and torment Saul. Saul had opened the door to darkness through his own disobedience. And we've got to be careful that we don't open the door in our life to allow Satan to have any access to us. Now, when Saul began to be tormented by these evil spirits, his servants encouraged him to send for David. David was still just a young man, a musician, very anointed of God. And they said, "Send for David to play music for you." Why, they said? Because the Lord is with him. You can read that in verse 18 right there. Because the Lord is with him. They knew there was something different about David when he played his instruments and sang to the Lord. There was an anointing, and it changed the atmosphere. Down in verse 23, it says, "And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away." Isn't that amazing? Anointed worship can drive away the powers of darkness and can bring healing and restoration to a person's soul. Isn't that wonderful? So David was this anointed worshiper, and we see that not only from the Psalms that he wrote, we see it also from this incident with Saul, but also from the environments of worship that he established when he built the tabernacle in Shiloh. He appointed Levites to lead in worship, and he appointed that there be 24-hour worship in the tabernacle in Shiloh before the Ark of the Covenant, before the place of God's presence. And then later on in the temple that he made plans to build, he also prepared that there would be worship that would be provided there in the temple. So here in 1 Samuel 16, you have these two spiritual atmospheres being manifested. You have the tormenting evil spirits that are coming against Saul, and you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on David. If you look at Jesus's life, the entirety of Jesus's life is lived out in this big cosmic clash between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And we live in the midst of that cosmic clash as well. Behind the scenes, there is a battle that rages between the powers of darkness and the power of God. And so we live in the in-between of this conflict. And when David played his worship to the Lord, the atmosphere changed and the torment evil spirits had to leave. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12 that we are engaged in battle, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. So there's a battle against the forces of darkness that is being waged. And these spiritual forces have a direct impact on the physical realm. They have a direct impact on our lives, on our homes, our marriages, on our families, on our church. Amen. And of course, on our nation. And that's why ministering and witnessing can be easier in some places and harder in others. I've gone to foreign countries to minister where there's a lot of paganism, and you can actually feel the oppression of darkness. You feel the heaviness when you are ministering. And then there's other places that I've ministered, and the anointing of God is so rich, and faith is strong, expectancy is heightened, and ministry is so easy in those places. You see, the reality of spiritual atmosphere is also why certain thoughts or feelings may hit you in certain places and not in others. Have you ever gone somewhere and you just feel something and you're like, oh, what was that? Or you go somewhere else and you just feel peace or you feel joy. You may come out of certain places feeling down or in a bad mood and you have no idea why. You likely encountered a spiritual atmosphere of darkness. I had an unsaved family member visiting in my home some time ago, and they said to me, they said, I always feel such peace in your home. I don't know what it is. But I know what it is. It's the presence of the Lord. They were sensing a spiritual atmosphere. They were sensing a spiritual atmosphere. The point is that spiritual atmospheres are real, and we need to understand them. We need to understand how they impact us, and we need to understand how we can impact them, because this can change so much about our lives, our families, our church, and our community. The first thing I want us to see is that we need to be aware of the spiritual atmosphere. We need to be aware of the spiritual atmosphere. We can't just walk through life and not recognize what is happening. There needs to be a spiritual sensitivity in us to recognize the spiritual forces are at work. And one of the things that helps us do that is the gift of discerning of spirits, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to be able to discern when we walk into a place the spiritual forces that are at work in that atmosphere. And we need to choose our atmosphere. Choose our atmosphere. Have you ever watched the show Hoarders? I think it's on Lifetime Network or one of those, TLC Network or something like that. And it's a show that depicts the real life struggles of hoarders who suffer from some form of mental illness that causes them to accumulate excessive junk. There's piles high, sometimes feet high, of newspapers and clothes and furnishings and paper things where they've eaten food and they haven't cleaned up and all sorts of garbage I mean, it's really disgusting sometimes when you watch it. And often their homes are rat infested. Why? Because all of that garbage creates what? An atmosphere that attracts rats. Now, the person doesn't have a rat problem. They have a junk problem, a garbage problem, right? If they get rid of the garbage, guess what? You'll get rid of the rats. The atmosphere you choose to live in determines what you attract. They choose to live in an atmosphere that's filled with garbage, and so it attracts rats. And whatever atmosphere you choose to live in determines what you attract. Satan understands the power of atmospheres, and one of his most powerful tactics is to try to tempt us to choose the wrong atmosphere to make it easier for us to engage in sinful activities. Just reflect on this for a moment. You can fall into sin anywhere, that's true. But are you more likely to fall into sin in a dance club or in Starbucks? Dance club, obvious, right? Atmospheres matter. Just think about it. The environment here in Florida is perfect to grow avocados, but not if you live in Michigan. They can't grow up there because of the cold weather. See, atmosphere matters. The atmosphere of a dance club, the music, the lights, the alcohol, the way people dress, the gyrations, it's all conducive to sinful, lustful desires, thoughts, and actions. And so Satan knows that if he can get us into his atmosphere, he will be more effective at getting us to sin. That's why we have to choose our atmospheres carefully. Choose your atmosphere carefully. And not only do we need to choose our atmosphere, but we need to cultivate an atmosphere that is attractive to the Holy Spirit. Satan understands the power of atmosphere. God understands the power of atmosphere. And God is everywhere. But have you ever noticed that God doesn't manifest himself everywhere? God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But he does not manifest his presence everywhere. David was a man with a heart after God. And he tells us in the verse that we read at the opening of our service from Psalm 22, verse 3, that God inhabits the praises of his people. So God is attracted to an atmosphere or an environment of praise and worship and prayer. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 5, 11 through 14, you might remember the story that David had prepared for the building of the temple. His son Solomon built the temple, and when they were dedicating the temple, they brought the sacrifices and placed them on the altar, and then the singers and the musicians began to worship God. And what happened? The glory cloud of God's presence came down in the temple. It filled the whole temple, and it was so heavy that basically all of the priests were slain in the spirit. The Bible says they could not stand to minister. What happens is that they had created an atmosphere of praise and worship and offerings to the Lord, and it was attractive to the presence of God. So it changed the atmosphere in that building, in the temple. When we fill the atmosphere where we are with thanksgiving, with praise, with worship, with prayer, what are we doing? We are attracting the presence of God. We are inviting the presence of God where we are. But when we fill the atmosphere with negative thought, complaining, criticism, grumbling, ungodly conversation, or ungodly things that we're listening to, music, or whatever it might be, that's not attractive to the Spirit of God. That's attractive to the spirit of darkness, amen? Likewise, righteousness and holiness and purity, that attracts the Holy Spirit. But atmospheres of anger and hatred and lust and sexual immorality, these are the works of darkness. That's where the spirit of darkness abides. That's where the spirit of darkness operates. And those things grieve the Holy Spirit. He withdraws his presence. Something else that attracts the Holy Spirit is an atmosphere of faith. Where there is faith, where there is expectancy, it attracts the presence of God and it releases the power of God. But doubt and unbelief resists the presence of God. You remember the story about when Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth? And the Bible says he could not do many mighty miracles there. He'd been doing mighty miracles elsewhere, but he couldn't do many mighty miracles there except to heal a few sick people. Why? It says because of their lack of faith. Yet in other places, he healed many. And in many places, it said he healed all the sick that were brought to him. Why? Because there was faith. There was faith present. That's why we need to cultivate an atmosphere that attracts the Holy Spirit, an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere of thanksgiving, an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of prayer, an atmosphere of purity, an atmosphere of holiness, an atmosphere of righteousness, an atmosphere of faith and expectancy. When we walk in these things, we will change the atmosphere wherever we go because God is attracted by these things. So we need to not only be aware of our atmosphere, but we also need to be prepared to transform our atmosphere. When David played his harp in worship to the Lord for Saul, David engaged and changed the spiritual atmosphere so that the evil, tormenting spirit that came upon Saul had to leave and Saul would feel better. What does this tell us? It tells us that God has called us to be spiritual atmosphere changers. Amen? During Shark Week, I watch that every once in a while. Anybody ever watch Shark Week on the, okay. During Shark Week, I watched an episode on Recife, Brazil, that has the infamy of being the world's most dangerous beach. Previously, it was a normal beach like any other. But in the last 20 years, there have been 56 aggressive shark attacks, most of them fatal. And it's believed that tiger sharks and bull sharks are responsible for the majority of these attacks. And so researchers have been studying why there's been such a change in Recife. And what they found is that these sharks are not generally aggressive in other places. But they're aggressive in Recife, Brazil. And they began to study the atmosphere. To find out why, they studied the water temperature, the ocean currents, the marine life in the area, etc. But in the end, they learned that 20 years prior, when shark behavior began to change in that area, that Brazil had built a port a few miles north of Recife. And in the process, they had dredged the estuaries to make the area deep enough for large ships. And those estuaries, those shallow places, were where the bull sharks would hunt and they would spawn. Now those areas were too deep. It had changed the atmosphere, the oceanic environment, and it drove the bull sharks out of those areas to the beach where people like to swim and play. And tiger sharks, also responsible for these aggressive attacks, are known to follow ships to eat the garbage trails behind the ship. Do you know that ships dump a lot of the garbage in the ocean as they go? They're actually polluting. So ships coming into this new port that they built north of Recife are leaving this garbage trail, and so they're attacking, they're attracting tiger sharks looking for an easy meal on the surface of the water. So what happened is that mankind had changed the oceanic atmosphere, the oceanic environment, creating an atmosphere that provoked these shark attacks. Now, researchers are studying what they can do to change the environment to keep the sharks away from the beach. We need to understand that we are called to be spiritual atmosphere changers. We need to realize the ability that we have to engage and change spiritual atmospheres because Jesus has given us the power and the authority to do so. There's a common saying that Christians are not to be spiritual thermometers, but spiritual thermostats. Okay? What does a thermometer do? It tells you what the temperature is, but it cannot change the temperature. But what does a thermostat do? A thermostat can change the temperature, right? You have a thermostat on your air conditioner. And when you have it set, like you have it set at 74 degrees, if the temperature rises above 74 degrees, the thermostat recognizes that. And what does it do? It cuts on the AC to cool down the atmosphere of your home, right? And as Christians, we're not supposed to be spiritual thermometers just to be able to say, oh, I can sense the presence of God here, or oh, I can sense the demonic here. No, we're supposed to be spiritual thermostats, which means that we're supposed to change the atmosphere where we are. As believers, God's will for us is not just to measure the spiritual atmosphere around us, but to change the spiritual atmosphere by bringing the authority of God's kingdom to bear wherever we are. Now, sometimes Christians will say, oh, I just hate my work environment. It's so dark, it's so negative, and I'm sure it is. But God has put you there to be a light in the midst of darkness. And what happens when you turn on a light in a dark room? It changes the atmosphere, right? God put you there to change the atmosphere. He says, you are the light of the world. And so light is not needed where there's a bunch of other light. Light is needed where there's a lot of darkness, amen? So God has you on your workplace to change the atmosphere by being light in the midst of darkness, so that you bring the kingdom of God to bear on your workplace and on the lives that are around you. So we are called to change the spiritual atmosphere wherever we are. And let's look at some steps to change the spiritual atmosphere. Number one, establish an altar. If you don't already have one, establish a set place and time in your home where you meet with God regularly, because that's where you're empowered by the Spirit. That's where the anointing comes from. That's where the power, the authority comes from to be able to change the spiritual atmosphere. Amen? So establish an altar and a time in your home and seek the Lord. And then if you're working in a place where there's a lot of darkness and a lot of sin, get to work a few minutes early and pray around your office. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to go around really loud, untie my bow tie, Toyota, Honda. You know, I'm not telling you have to do that loud. But you can walk through your office and you can quietly pray. And you can say, Lord, I invite your presence here. God, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that you would just make yourself manifest, that you would drive out all of the spirits of darkness in this place. I'm praying, Lord, that you would cause my life to shine as a bright and shining light in the midst of dark. You can pray around your office. Amen. The altar in Scripture is where God often visited with his people. And in times of distress, the altar is where they would offer sacrifices to God and they would call out to God. And it's a place where God would manifest himself, where he would speak to his people, where he would meet his people. So being a person of prayer is essential, because a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. And Satan knows that. So he's going to try to do everything in his power to keep you from praying, to distract you, to get you too busy to pray. Someone has said the level of our anointing is in direct proportion to the level of our prayer life. So if you want the power and anointing of God to flow through you, then you've got to level up your prayer life. Amen? Secondly, we need to establish boundaries. Set limits on what you will and will not allow in your life and in your home. We do it for other things, right? Some people, they have a ban on smoking in their home for health reasons. So doesn't care who comes over. I'm sorry, but no one smokes in the house, right? You've seen people that do that, right? So we need to set boundaries for spiritual health reasons. Boundaries like no alcohol, no smoking, no ungodly music, no cable packages that carry porn, etc., right? You want to keep those things out, because that's the garbage that attracts the rats or the demonic into our life. So we want to keep those things out of our life. So when we put a ban or set a boundary on these things, we are closing the doors of entrance to the activity of spiritual darkness in our life. Now, it's a little hard to do at work, because you can't ban certain things at work unless you're in charge, right? But you can graciously excuse yourself from ungodly conversations. Amen. You can, maybe if you have an office, you can play praise and worship music in your office. You know, you can kindly, you know, in a very gracious way. Maybe ask people if they're being very vulgar in what they're saying or cursing. You can say, you know, would you please not do that around me? I don't really like that kind of language. You don't have to get all super spiritual. I'm a Christian and bless God, thou art on a banana peel to hell because you're cursing. You don't have to get all spiritual. Just, you know, I don't really like that kind of language. I would appreciate it if you wouldn't use it around me. Just say it very graciously, you know. So you can set those types of boundaries in your life. And then something else you can do is anoint your home. You can anoint your desk. You can anoint your office. Now, this anointing oil is not some kind of magic talisman, right? It only works if you're a person of faith, if you have been living a life honoring to God, and if you've been seeking God through prayer. Amen? But there is something powerful in that symbolic act of anointing and praying when you've anointed with oil. If you remember in the Old Testament in Exodus 12, God had the children of Israel to anoint their doorposts with the blood of the Lamb, symbolizing the sacrifice of Jesus. And when the death angel that passed over Egypt saw that blood anointed on the lintel and the doorpost, he would pass over their homes. Now that Jesus' blood has been shed for us, we don't anoint with blood. We anoint with oil, representative of the Holy Spirit, right? And so all you need to do is take a little oil. You don't have to carry a gallon jug of Pompeian oil to work with you and pour it over everything. Just a little bit of oil, right? Just a little bit of oil. You can go around your house. You can anoint the doors and the windows of your home as you pray and pray that, you know, all evil spirits would be driven out, that no evil would come near onto your house, that every door and opening would be closed onto darkness. You can do this in your office as well. Anoint your desk, anoint the office areas, and in the name of Jesus, drive out every spirit of darkness and ask for the Spirit of God to come and declare that your office, your desk, belongs to the Lord, and it's off limits to every spirit of darkness. Now, if you do this at work, again, don't make some conspicuous show that will make people think that you and all Christians are nuts. Nobody needs to know that you're anointing your desk or anointing your office or anything. You can do it very discreetly, especially if you get there a little bit early in the morning before everybody else. Amen. But even though nobody else in the office needs to know, I can tell you that if you do that in faith, the spirit realm will know. The spirit realm will know. Amen. And then something else we can do is declare the word of God. God commanded Israel to mark the doorposts of their home with a word of God called a mezuzah. Right? The Jewish people all have a little mezuzah on their doorpost. And inside of that little metal box, there is a scroll of scripture. And it was a reminder that this home belonged to God and that those living in it were dedicated to live by God's word. Now, we're not going to go through the ritual of just putting a little metal box on our door with tiny scrolls of scripture, but we have something much more powerful. We have the active and living word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and we can declare it over our life. We can declare it over our marriage. We can declare it over our children. We can declare it over our home. We can declare it over our desk at work. We can declare it over our office, amen, because the word of God is powerful, and the word of God defeats darkness. Every time Satan came against Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, "It is written," and the Bible says Satan had to flee from him. So when we create an atmosphere with the word of God, darkness will have to flee. A fifth thing that we can do to change the atmosphere, fill the air with praise and worship. As we saw when David played his harp for Saul, the tormenting evil spirits would leave, because Satan cannot remain in an atmosphere of praise and worship, because when you praise and worship God, that attracts the presence of God. So fill your home with praise and worship. If you're able at work and you have an office, you can play praise and worship in your office. If you can't play it out loud and you can put your earbuds in, then you do that and you just worship the Lord, and that will begin to change the atmosphere. We want to create an atmosphere in our home, at our job, in our church that is attractive to the Spirit and repulsive to the devil. Amen? So choose your atmosphere carefully by choosing disobedience, Saul opened a door to a tormenting spirit in his life. We want to choose obedience. And we want to get rid of the garbage in our life that attracts the rats or the demonic spirits. It might be the garbage of ungodly music. It might be some kind of object in our home that is related to witchcraft, maybe from our past life. It could be something related to voodoo or obia or santeria. It could even be horoscopes. It might be items that evoke lust. Something that was given to you by a previous ungodly relationship that you had, and it evokes certain feelings in you. We need to get rid of all of that garbage. And I believe right now the Holy Spirit can be identifying to you some of the things that you need to get rid of. And if you don't get rid of the garbage, we can pray for you and rebuke demons, but they're going to keep coming back because rats are always attracted to garbage and demons are always attracted to ungodly things in our life. And we need to cultivate an atmosphere that attracts the Holy Spirit and repulses the devil. So commit to an altar of prayer. Commit to being in God's word. Commit to creating an atmosphere of praise and worship. Commit to being in church more so that you can grow stronger in your faith. And of course, being in the house of God is a place when we worship God together that attracts the Holy Spirit. And let me ask you something. Do you think sitting in front of TV and watching sports or watching our favorite show or being in church is an atmosphere? Which one is an atmosphere more conducive to the Holy Spirit? Church. So I'm not saying there's never a time to watch sports or what, but make church a priority. Amen? Make church a priority because being in church will lead to spiritual growth. It will strengthen you spiritually. It will empower you with the Holy Spirit. And those are the things that we need to be spiritual atmosphere changers. Commit to reading the word, commit to praying, commit to living righteously. All of those things will attract the Spirit. We've got to resist the devil. The Bible says resist the devil. We've got to resist the devil, not just with our words, but with our walk. We need to walk in righteousness. We need to walk in holiness. We need to walk in the things that are conducive to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we need to change the atmosphere wherever we go through prayer, through the Word of God, through the anointing, and through praise and worship. If David was able to engage and change the demonic atmosphere around Saul, how much more now, after the finished work of Christ and the access that his sacrifice grants for us to the throne of God, things that David did not have, and the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to all of us now, how much more should we be spiritual atmosphere changers? Amen? So I want to encourage all of us as we close our service tonight to commit to be spiritual atmosphere changers and to do at least one of the things, if you're not already doing it, do at least one of the things we talked about. It might be establishing an altar. It might be creating an environment of worship in your home with worship and praise or at your job. It may be anointing your home, anointing your job. Commit to one of the things that we spoke about and start doing it this week. Amen. Would you stand to your feet and let's commit to be spiritual atmosphere changers. Every one of you lifting your hearts and voices to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight, Lord God, and we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that your word is true and that is enabled to instruct us in righteousness and equip us for every good work. Father, I pray tonight through your word that we will be equipped to be spiritual atmosphere changers. I pray first and above all that you would help us to walk in the discerning of your spirit, Lord God, that we may be able to become very aware of the spiritual atmospheres that we're moving in and out of, Lord God, that we may be able to recognize when we're in an atmosphere of darkness, Lord God. And Father, I pray that not only will we be aware of our atmosphere, but I pray that we would become spiritual atmosphere changers, Lord God. Father, like David, who carried that anointing with him so that others were even able to see the hand of the Lord is upon him. Father, may others be able to see that we carry the anointing of God upon our life. May they be able to see that the hand of the Lord is upon us and that where we go, the spiritual atmosphere changes, and may that be attractive even to the ungodly, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would raise each and every one of us up, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit to be spiritual atmosphere changers. We commit to this in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, and we will see you on Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.